Wanted to discuss the mitzvah of Milchamah and Yishuv Haaretz. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that there are two types of Milchamah in Halacha. The Rambam writes that there's Milchamah's mitzvah, which has three subcategories. The mitzvah to destroy Amalek, number one. Number two, the mitzvah to destroy the Shiva Amamim, to take over Eretz Yisrael. And number three, a self-defensive battle where we're attacked. The Shef Shlita once pointed out to us that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Tzatzal said that in 1948 we were attacked by the Arabs, and that has continued until this day and age, and therefore any wars that we engage in regarding Eretz Yisrael's label as a Mechamis Mitzvah. This had a big nafkamina, if you recall, in 1980 when Tzatzal was captured. There was a plane that was hijacked in 1970, and a plane was landed in Jordan in the desert. And actually, there was a girl from Peoria, Illinois, where I grew up, and there was also on that plane that was hijacked. And the Gedolim were discussing, many of Talmidim Chaim Berlin wanted to redeem Rav Hutner Zatzal for an exorbitant amount of money, and the Gedolim had a meeting, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal said, they're not allowed to because we're in the midst of a war, and the din is they're in the midst of a war. You're not allowed to pay an exorbitant amount of money. And they were good friends, but that was his psak, and that's what it means, al pi halacha, that we are in the midst of a mechamis mitzvah. And then there is another type of category of mechama called the mechamis rishus, which means that we can annex more lands on Eretz Yisrael if a melech wants to do that, but he needs permission from the Sanhedrin HaGadol in order to lead his troops to annex more land. So we have two subcategories. We have Mechametz Mitzvah, which is broken down into three subcategories. Mechametz Amalek, Shiva Amamim, and a self-defensive battle. Mechametz Rishus to annex more lands on Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting that the Rambam claims that the mitzvah of destroying the Shiva Amamim does not exist bizman hazeh. The Rambam says, and if you look in note 1, we won't read every line inside, but in Halacha Dalid, he writes, Mitzvah Ese, Lahachrim Shiva Amamim, Shinema Hacharem, Tacharimim, Bechol Shabala, Diyodo Echemihem, Lohargo, Over Below Tase, Shinema Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, Kukfar Ibeit Zichram. We have lost their memory. Sancheriv was Mevalbel, all the genealogy of the Umus HaOlam, and therefore we don't know who the Shivam are. Thereby the mitzvah became extinct, and therefore there is no mitzvah nowadays to destroy the Shivam. There is a famous comment that the in the last footnote in the Kol Dodi Dofeik, in last footnote quotes that the Reb Chaim was quoted as saying, or the Rav's father of Moshe Soloveitchik quoted Reb Chaim, saying that if you look in the very next halacha about destroying Amalek, he doesn't say Kvar Ibeit Zichram, which seems to imply that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek does exist, Bizman Hazeh. That was the diuk that was quoted in that last footnote. And the question has to be asked, then who is Amalek, and in what sense do we fulfill the mitzvah? Now, Dr. Soloveitchik pointed out to us that he didn't believe that that was so. He thought that footnote was wrong, because he couldn't believe that that was said. Because if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam says v'chein. V'chein means it similarly. Whatever he said about Amalek, whatever he said about the Shiva Amim, he's applying to Amalek. So that's why he didn't think that that was said. But okay, if we accept that footnote, that in fact that diuk was made, that the Shiva Amim does not exist, but the requirement to destroy Amalek does, so who is Amalek?
Which Dr.
Chaim Soloveitchik. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. So that's what he taught us, that's what he pointed out to us, that he felt that that wasn't a correct footnote. So if you assume like that footnote is correct, so how do you define who Amalek is? So the Rav Zatzal pointed out that there are two types of Amalek. There's an genetic Amalek, which in fact we don't have nowadays, because we don't know who they are. But there's an ideological Amalek where their whole goal is to destroy Klal Yisrael and wipe us off the face of the earth. And that is a separate din of Amalek, which might find a makor, the Yerushalmi and Yevamos. We normally assume Haman came from Amalek, genetically. The Yerushalmi writes in Yevamos was not so. that Haman walked in the footsteps of Amalek. And just like Amalek wanted to obliterate the Jews, Haman as well. And therefore, there might be Svei Dinim when it comes to Amalek. And that second din does exist nowadays. And therefore, they used to say when I was in Eretz Yisrael during the Persian Gulf War, the gematria of Amalek is Saddam Hussein. If you do it, it fits. And would he be categorized as Amalek? Yes, he would be, because that was his goal, to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. Those in Iran that want to do that would be the same halacha. So would there be any nafkamini between these two types of Amalek, the genetic Amalek and the ideological Amalek? So what nafkamina might be, very interestingly, is that, is there a concept of geiris when it comes to Amalek? Can you mekabel a ger from Amalek? So the Bavli in Gittin says that B'nei Barav shel Haman rolam du Torah b'B'nei Brak. So that implies that geiris is good. And the Emek Bracha, Talmud of the Brisker Rav, points out that there's a Medrash Tanchuma that writes that it is prohibited to mekabel a ger from Amalek. He happens to write, at first glance, Samachleik is the Bavli in the Medrash Tanchuma. So he backs out of that and says, no, that it's also lechachila for a Beis Din to mekabel a ger from Amalek, but that if they didn't know the fellows from Amalek and they accepted the geiris, it would be chal. That's how he explains the story in Navi, that the son of the ger Amaleki, David HaMelech, killed, because David HaMelech couldn't fathom any Beis Din mekabel him as a ger, but little did he know that the Beis Din that was mekabel him as a ger didn't know he was from Amalek. So that's how Lamaisa, the Emek Bracha, wants to say. So it would come out, based on what we're presenting, that when it comes to a genetic Amalek, you can have that whole discussion. Is it also Lechachila? Is it B'dievid? Maybe it's a Machlok, as the Bavli gets the Medrash Tanchuma. But that whole discussion is only by a genetic Amalek. But by the ideological Amalek, if the fellow's coming to Megayer, obviously he's leaving that ideology. If he's leaving that ideology, of course we would accept him as a Ger. So that's one very good Nafkemina, a difference between the genetic Amalek and the ideological Amalek. Would be able to accept a ger from Amalek. That whole discussion is constricted only to a genetic Amalek. Ideological Amalek, of course. Another nafkimini would be interesting, and this the Rambam never mentions. You know, there's a prohibition to take the shlal of Amalek. The Rav Zatzal went back and forth about taking reparations from Nazi Germany, you know, after the Shoah. So that prohibition of taking shlal of Amalek, the Rambam never quotes in the Arach HaZaka, which would seemingly imply, because we don't know who Amalek is, we don't know the genetic Amalek, but the halach of taking the spoils from Amalek is only from a genetic Amalek, but from an ideological Amalek, maybe it's okay. And therefore the Rambam doesn't even quote the Isser, because the only type of Amalek we have nowadays is the ideological Amalek. Thereby he doesn't quote the Isser of shlal Amalek, and therefore it would be no problem in taking the reparations. It's interesting that the Oneg Yontif, one of the great Gedolei Achronim, is an introduction to a Sefer. There's a story in Navi that David HaMelech killed off a legion of Amalekites, and he took their booty and spoils. He took it. And the Oneg Yontif says, how could he do that? So he is masbir that the Isser to take Shlal Amalek is only after you've destroyed all the individuals, the human beings of Amalek. And then there's an Isser to take the Shlal, because the whole point of the Isser is you should have no memory of the Amalekites. But if there's still people living in the world that are Amalekites, there's no Isser to take the Shlal. He only killed a small group of them. Therefore, he's masber the story that there was no prohibition in him taking the Shlal of Amalek of that small legion. So that might be two very good nafkaminis between these two tracks. And the question becomes, is there a mitzvah nowadays? And obviously, you know, this is a very difficult mitzvah for us to fulfill. You know, the Jews are Baishanim, Rahmanim, Gomli Chasam. We're not violent people. We're not bloodthirsty people. But we have this mitzvah. So, if you look in note in number 3 and number 4, I want to now compare those two mitzvahs of destroying Amalek and the mitzvah of Shiva Amamim. It's very interesting that when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, the Sefer HaChinuch here, and Mitzvah Tafresh Dalit points out that this obligation is upon Jewish men and not Jewish women. Jewish men are obligated to destroy Amalek, not Jewish women. That's what he writes when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. However, if you look in note 5, when he discusses the mitzvah of destroying the Shiva Amamim, here the Sefer HaChinuch writes that both Jewish men and Jewish women are obligated to destroy the Shiva Amamim. And the question is, what's the difference between those two mitzvahs? They're both Mechametz mitzvahs, as we said from the very outset. Why are Jewish men and Jewish women obligated to destroy the Shivamim, but not when it comes to Amalek? We make a split. The Minchas Chinuch is bothered by this kasha. Many Gedolei Achronim are bothered by this kasha. So, many Gedolei Achronim say the following answer. And that is that when it comes to Amalek, it's a Chov on the Tzibor. And the Chov on the Tzibor only takes its power and its strength during war. When the Tzibor of the Jewish people wants to destroy Amalek, it's when they wage war. And we know that women are not benos mechamaninu. The Gemara says in Nazar that a woman can't hold a weapon, it's clay gever. Gemara says in Nazar and Daphne Pes. So if it's an obligation on the Tzibor to wage war, men are obligated, not women. Women are lav benos mechamaninu. But when it comes to the mitzvah of the Shiva Amamim, it's not a chov on the Tzibor, it's a chov on every yachid v'yachid, both men and women. And thereby, that's the distinction between destroying a Amalek and destroying the Shiva Amamim. A Amalek is a chov on the Tzibor. The Shiva Amamim is a requirement on every single individual. This is a very interesting distinction because the Sefer HaChinuch in note 5 points out that when you engage in destroying the Shivam, you have to make sure you don't endanger yourself. Miblishi yistakein. So the Minchas Chinuch says, Miblishi yistakein. War is dangerous by its very nature. Minchas Chinuch asks on the Chinuch, why is there that clause you have to make sure when you destroy the Shivam, you don't endanger yourself? So if you say this Chinuch, it's a beautiful answer. Because when it destroys the Shivam, I mean, the mitzvah is a yachid yachid. It's not a mitzvah of war. Even during peacetime, there's a mitzvah to destroy the Shivamim. And therefore, if it's even during peacetime, you have to make sure you don't endanger yourself when you engage in this mitzvah. He never says that when it comes to Amalek, because Amalek is a note in the nature of war. It's dangerous. There's no din of pikuach nefesh. The Isser Vitzich is suspended, because war is war. But when it comes to Shivamim, it's a chovas hayachid. That's a beautiful distinction that many Gedolei Achronim give. The problem is, I would say about 25 years ago, if you ever seen the Minchas Chinuch, you know, the big black svarim and the inundated, beautiful editions, there's a line in the Sefer HaChinuch, the new ones that came out, that were not in the old ones. And the Gedolei Achronim did not have this line. You know, the Minchas Chinuch was a great goyin. He was very poor, he didn't have much paper. And he wrote all his perushim in Rosh HaTevis. And they're very hard to figure out. In this new edition, they are masber all the abbreviations. It's a machayin. But if you look in note 3, three lines from the bottom of note 3, right before 4 begins, there's this line here. He says, Gam al kol yachid mi Yisrael, hazcharem mutal achiyuv lahargom l'abda min ha'olam, im yesh koch biyodam b'chol makam b'chol zman, im ula yimsa echad mikol zarem. Isn't that amazing? He says, "Ube'emes al kol yachid in Yisrael." We just said alam de shechiluk that when it comes to Amalek, it's a chov on the tzibor. That's mamish debunked by the Chinuch. He says, "Ube'emes al kol yachid in Yisrael." He says, "Beferish off and or that it's a yachid." So that chiluk is very, very difficult. If you look in the old Chinuchs, that line is not in there. That's why the Gedolei Achronim gave that beautiful teretz, but it doesn't work. We're pointing out, so we have to come up with a new teretz. So maybe we could suggest, and the Gevuras Yitzchok has a line like this also as well. It could be that Amalek is our arch enemy. And no matter where you are in the world, in the planet Earth, when you meet an Amalekite, it says in the Chumash, Melchama Lashem, Midor, Dor. Even if Klal Yisrael is not waging war as a tzibor, as a collective whole, but you meet a Nazi and you have a confrontation with him in Australia or New Zealand, that's called a war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne is not Shalem until he cuts off L'Hachas Zaro Shel Amalek. So by definition, it's always called a Mechama. So it might be a Chov on the Kol Yachid V'Yachid. It might even apply during peacetime, but halachically we rule that as a Mechama. And a woman is Lufka from Mechama. So thereby the Chinuch potters women from destroying Amalek. Whereas the Shiva Amamin, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Shiva Amamim? It is to conquer Eretz Yisrael. It is to own Eretz Yisrael. And thereby, the Mishnah says in the end of Ksubas, Hakol Milan LeEretz Yisrael. Both men and women are obligated to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's grounds for a divorce. If a couple is married and one of the two wants to make Aliyah, the other doesn't, the Mishnah says it's grounds for a divorce. She can lose her Ksuba. We make him pay the Ksuba. Depends on what the case is. But there's a mitzvah, and that might very well be the mitzvah that we claim of Shiva Amun. The mitzvah of Shiva Amun is a kiyum of Yeshiva Aretz. Thereby, both men and women are mechuyev. And therefore, you have to make sure you don't engage and endanger yourself. Because you have to make sure it's a mitzvah of what? Yeshiva Aretz. You're not allowed to endanger yourself. So thereby, the distinction we're making now is that Amalek, by definition, is war. Jewish men are mechuyev, Jewish women are potter. When it comes to Yeshiva Aretz, men and women are mechuyev. That's a mitzvah. A subsidiary of the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is destroying the Shiva Amun. That's the chiluk. And it could very well be, it's very interesting, that the Rambam that we mentioned earlier says that if you meet a Shiva Amun guy on the street, in number one, Halacha Dalet, he says you don't kill him, you're mavatal in the mitzvah. Lo sachaya kol neshama. The Rambam never says that when it comes to the halacha of what? The halacha of an Amalekite. The Chinuch did. Rambam never says if you meet an Amalekite on the street, you don't have a mitzvah to kill him. The Sefer HaChinuch said that because anywhere where you are in the world, it's labeled as a Muhammad. Rambam didn't say that when it came to Amalek. He only said that by the Shiva Amun. So that's the distinction we want to make between this concept of Shiva Amun and Amalek. Truth is, we maybe could give another svara. I believe the Avnei Nezer points out that Rashi in Maseches Megillah, if you take a look at number 7, Rashi in Maseches Megillah points out that there is no Zman Milchama Belaili. See the last line in number 7. Rashi is a collector's item. He has a line in Megillah, and he's being mazbir the Gemara about Yehoshua meeting the Malach. And the Rashi says, Ein Zman Milchama Belaila. Strange din. But Rashi claims, Ein Zman Milchama Belaila. That makes it a mitzvah sesheshe b'zman grama. Because there's no mitzvah Belaila. So memele, women are potter from destroying a Amalek. Oh, what about the Shiva Amun? So go back to what we said. The Milchama Shiva Amun is really a subsidiary of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. That can be both day and night. And therefore women are mechuyev. So that might be another svara that we could suggest here regarding this halacha that we have. So we have to keep in mind that there are three subcategories of Milchemes Mitzvah, Shiva Amun, Amalek, and self-defensive battle, but we're pointing out many differences between the Shiva Amun and Amalek, and whether the halacha of Amalek is Bisman as it exists, suppose Shiva Amun. Yeah, go ahead.
You partially, or mostly answered my question, but still, even according to the Havanim before, what would be the reason to think that it's not on the whole Kali Yisrael to get rid of Shiva Amun? Because it really is, as you say, it's a means to conquer Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
In fact, I think even when we come in, we give them the option to leave. So we don't have to go after them if they leave of their own volition.
Right, but there's an individual chiyuv, as the Ramban, as you bring it up now, let's point out, the Ramban holds that the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz is a mitzvah chiyuvis. He quotes many places, I have it even it's even in here. The Ramban has it in notes number 16. The Ramban says that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuv. It looks like we have a chiyuv to put tefillin on in the morning. We have a chiyuv to what? To go to Eretz Yisrael. We have to pack our bags after the shir and make aliyah, the Ramban says. He says, he quotes the Tosefta, that shkula, the mitzvah of Yeshiv Aretz, like all the mitzvahs that exist in the Torah. He quotes that famous Sifri, not so well known, actually I don't know it's so famous, but he says, all the mitzvahs we do in Chutz La'aretz are practice. We put on tefillin this morning, so we should put the tefillin on properly in Eretz Yisrael. It's all practice. It's an amazing thing. So that chiyuv is upon every individual. So if that chiyuv is upon every individual, you don't have to say it's a chovas atzibur. Chovas atzibur is a little bit more conceptually more mekel. Chovah on the yachid v'yachid. That applies to both men and women. Of course there might be a mitzvah on the tzibur, but saying it's a chovas atzibur is more of a chumrah than a chovas atzibur. Yeah, go ahead.
Why don't we differentiate between genetic Shiva Amun and ideologic Shiva Amun the way that we do?
That's a good point. I think what we would just say is we would subsume the ideological Shiva Amun under the ideological Amalek. That's kind of like the banner, that their whole goal is to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth, and including Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we would assume that as being. in essence. There's no, you know, that ideological concept is would be subsumed under a Moloch. That's what we would assume.
What if you find someone from the Shivam in Australia?
If you find someone from the Shivam?
In Australia.
Well, we can't nowadays. We can't. Sancherem is mavalbo the umos. We don't have that anymore. We have a Moloch, we have an ideological Moloch. There's no concept of Svei Dinim by Shivamim. We don't have the Shivamim. Kfar Ibn Zichron.
Even in Eretz Yisrael.
What'd you say?
Even in Eretz Yisrael. There's no such thing.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore. We have a Moloch, but based on the ideological Moloch. Okay.
Would you say Shmuel fits into any of these categories? Or is that a sub-category?
Yeah, I mean...
And even Yishmuel, if we go with the sub-carib idea, you can have that.
Yeah, that's a whole shaila in Halacha Lamaisa Gemara says Bnei Keturah are Chayiv Mila. So how are the Bnei Keturah Chayiv Mila? They should be Batal Barov in all the nations of the world. So the Shagasari has a whole discussion about that. So that's really a separate topic, how we treat them. But it's a good, excellent point as well. Okay, so we have this chiluk that we have between the Shivam. And now I want to look now at number two. Let's look at the second marker. When we engage in a Melchemes Mitzvah, and you know, my nephew was in Sahal, and we have to have tremendous Akaras HaTov, as I said to the Talmidim, Yom HaZikaron. You know, it's a very chilling number. There are 24,000 of students of Rebbe Akiva died between the space of Shavuos. The number of Chayalim that are killed from 1948 were killed is 23,500. It's very chilling. Very, 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 very chilling. So we have to have this in mind. So the Rambam writes in Peraches Halacha Aleph, Chalutzei Tzava Kishiyichnesu Begvul Ha'akum V'yichpeshuv Yishpu Mehen. When our soldiers committed to a border of non-Jews in capture, Mutter Lehen Lechol Nevelus Retreifus U'basar Chazer U'kiyotzebo Im Yira V'lo Matzebo Mayocha Macholos Eilu Asuros Asurim. This is the din of called Katla de Chazir. The Rambam writes, based on that Gemara, Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, that the Chayalim are able to eat non-kosher food. And the Rambam has a tremendous chiddush here. The Rambam says that this applies not just during the Melchemes Mitzvah, but even during a Melchemes Rishus. But only the soldiers have this heter. Not the women, not the children. And at Stavka, if you notice, the Rambam said, when you're hungry. When you're hungry. It's a dechuya. You know, there are two ways to understand Pikuach Nefesh is docha akol. Pikuach Nefesh is docha Shabbos. Is that a hutcher or a dechuya? Do I have to make an effort to minimize my yisurim when I try to save someone's life? So here you have the same thing. There's a heter of katla de chaziri. Katla is like the jerky from the beef, the non-kosher from a pig. Katli de chaziri, that's for lashon. Dried out jerky from a pig is a permissible eat. For the chayalim, it's mutter, but not for their wives and children. And the halacha is only when they're hungry, says the Rambam. Rambam has this tremendous kiddush, and the Rambam also allows drinking yayin nesach. Unbelievable kiddush. So if you look in the Ramban al HaTorah, the Ramban al HaTorah has many points to argue on the Rambam about this heter of katli de chaziri. Number one, he says that this heter is only in Eretz Yisrael. It only applies to a Melchemes Mitzvah, the Ramban says. It does not apply at all to a Melchama that is outside of Eretz Yisrael or a Melchemes Rishus. That's number one point the Ramban argues on the Rambam. Number two, he actually proves that, because when do we have the halacha of clay midgen, cleaning the kalim of the midgenites? You know, we have a Heksher Kalim comes from the Kalim of the Midianites. Yeah. Who did we battle before Midian? Sichon V'og. Why was there no requirement to kasher their Kalim? So he says beautifully, because Sichon V'og was part of what? Eretz Yisrael. They had no chiv to kasher the Kalim. They could eat it based on Katla de Chaziri, this heter. Midian was not part of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they had no heter of Katla de Chaziri. Therefore, they had to kasher the Kalim. Therefore, we learn a Heksher Kalim from the Melchama of Midian. That's what the Ramban writes for Farish. The Ramban claims that the Rambam should not expand this heter of Katla de Chaziri to all Melchamas. You should limit it limited very strongly to what we call a Macham in Eretz Yisrael. Also, the Ramban is very bothered by this concept of allowing Yayin Nesach. How could Yayin Nesach be permissible? It's a subsidiary of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, since it's a subsidiary of Avodah Zarah, he claimed that there's no such heter at all. Should be Yarvel Yavor. The Rambam would respond, no. Yayin Nesach is an Isser Hanah, it's an Isser Diraisa, but it's not considered to be an Abizrayu. He wouldn't consider it to be a subsidiary. So you have this whole machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban, and the truth is, the Gemara says that the heterim are only what we assume from Akum. In other words, if you are engaging in battle and you happen to have some food in your bag that wasn't kosher, that doesn't mean that I can eat that unkosher food. You can only take food from the Akum that was non-kosher. The heter only applies to the food in their home. Because I had some non-kosher food in my knapsack does not allow me to eat that food as well. So we have a fascinating machloikus as to what the lumdus of the heter of katle dechaziri is in engaging in milchemes mitzvah. We also find halacha lamaisa. We also find it's very interesting as well is that this concept of engaging in battle, you know, there was a concern of their wives of the chayalim being stuck as agunas, and therefore the Gemara says in Ksubas and Daftes that anyone in Yotzim Melchemes Beis David, there was a get that they wrote. And there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, was the get al tanai or was it a get straight up? That was the firm halacha, and we find that Nasan HaNavi gave Musar to Dov Melch, the Rashba writes, because the gets were given so their wives wouldn't be stuck as agunas. So why did Nasan HaNavi give Musar to Dov Melch? Because when they gave the get, the hope was that they would return and be able to marry their wives. They didn't want anyone else to take their wives. So when David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba, she wasn't married. Either was a get straight up or was a get out tonight because Uriah didn't come from battle. And therefore didn't come back from battle. Therefore the get was chal. Therefore she was not an Eshesish. But it was still a wrong thing to do, as the Rav Satzal once said, Kol Omer David Chata Einu El Atoa. As on the books it was not an Aveirah. But David as a melech was improper. That's why there are many prokim tehillim he wrote asking for tshuva from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he felt bad at what he did. And why did Nasan Navi give Musar? Because the hope was they could be able to remarry their wives after they came back. They would be celibate. But he came in and broke that loyalty between Uriah and Bathsheba. That's why Nasan Navi gave him Musar. So there was a concern also to make sure that the Chayalim would not, and it could very, very well be, the Balatum traces, even by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Jews out to battle near Yisrael, in Evra Yarden, the Balaturim claims that men that were married who had no wife, had no children, they would give a get to make sure they weren't get stuck in Yibum, the wives. If they had kids already, then they didn't require them to get. Only David HaMelech, he learned from his father Yishai, he made that general practice that all the Chayalim would do that, would give gets to make sure there wouldn't be a concern. So you see that there's a concept, it's a real mitzvah in the sense of what? Of the Shiva and that halach is so critical. And so what I want to move now to is, how does this connect the mitzvah of Melchama now, that we wanted to prove that the Melchama Shiva Amimim is in fact the mitzvah on both Jewish men and Jewish women? How does this connect with the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz? We mentioned the Ramban says that's an obligatory mitzvah. And therefore it's an obligatory mitzvah, both incumbent upon men and women. Though all shittas agree with that, halacha l'maisa. Not all shittas agree with this at all. If you take a look at number 8 in the Makoros, the Mishnah we mentioned in Maseches Ksubis, says, I call Milan to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone, Lamaisa, should go to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone should go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha. Okay? I call Milan and I call Motzin. I call Milan Yushalayim and I call Motzin. Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim. There's the Mishnah. Both men and women are obligated. And therefore, the Ramban takes this Mishnah very seriously and says, both men and women have a chiv, and therefore, both men and women have a chiv to destroy the Shiva Amim. Because it's a kiyum of what it's what we would call a subsidiary Yishuv Haaretz. Take a look at number 9. So Tosis here in Kuf Yud Amud Beis says, "Hu Omer Lalo Skule Eino Noeg Bizman Hazeh." The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael does not apply to Bizman Hazeh. The Ikas Sakonis Drachim, because the highways are very dangerous. The Haya Omer Rabbeinu Chaim, you know, Rabbeinu Chaim was the Baal HaTezah Kohen. The Achshav Ein Mitzvah Ladur Beretz Yisrael. Nowadays, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ki Yesh Kama Mitzvahs HaTluyas Baretz. There are many mitzvahs HaTluyas Baretz, like Chumas and Maisers. The Kama Onshin. We won't know how to fulfill them, and we'll end up doing a virus. So Tosus here comes along and says, I disagree with the Ramban wholeheartedly. There is no mitzvah Bizman Hazeh. Just like we said there's no mitzvah Bizman Hazeh to destroy the Shivamim because we don't know who they are, Kvar Ibid Zikram, so too there's no mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael because it's dangerous, and number two, we don't know how to fulfill mitzvahs Tluyas Baretz. So our response to Tosus, one could say, Alpi Sfar, number one, Bli'ai and Hara, El Al is very safe. It's not a Sakana Strachim. Bli'ai and Hara 50 times. Number two, study the Dinim of Chumas and Maisus. The Chazon Ish has a passage that if you go ahead and say a Brach, your Mafish Chumas Maisus can feel like the Chazon Ish requires it finished, fulfill the mitzvah very easily. Just do like the Chazon Ish prescribes, how I'm supposed to cut off the celery and the tomatoes to fulfill Chumas and Maisus. It's not so difficult. It's not rocket science. So one would have said, Al Pisvara, that nowadays one could argue that it's not dangerous. And number two, we would figure out how to do it like the Chazon Ish. You know, Chazon Ish makes it very easy. Such a going, how to be Mafresh Chumas and Maisus. So I once found that the Maharit, who is one of the early Gedolei Achronim, claims that a Talmud Torah wrote this Tosus. Amazing. A mistaken Talmud wrote this Tosus. Because the Sfaras are so difficult to say that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh is not Shaykh. So whether we accept that Ma'arid or not, but we have to put on the books that the Shita of Tosus that seems to be diametrically opposed to the Ramban, that it's a mitzvah for you. This Tosus seems to say, it says Beferish that there is no mitzvah for two reasons, and we say that Talmud Torah wrote the Tosus. But nonetheless, that sheet is a Tosus. So just like the Shivamim doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah wouldn't apply. However, we know that the Gemara says in Maseches Makis, the Gemara says Beferish, that the last stop that Reb Simloi said Hashem gave us 613 mitzvahs. And many of the Rishonim have their own Monei Mitzvahs. The Rambam has his, the Smag, Rav Sajigon. Rav Sajigon, you know, wrote a whole poem. And Rabbi Rucham Fishel Pirlo wrote a 3-volume Sefer the size of Baba Basra. Was Masber the poem of the 613 Mitzvahs. So each Rishon has a 613 Mitzvahs. You look in the Rambam never quotes the Mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael in his Sefer Mitzvahs. Very bizarre omission. So the Megillas Esther, one of the Gedolei Achronim on the side of the page of the Rambam, says the fact that the Rambam omitted it shows to us that the Rambam held it was not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh, much like this Tosus. Doesn't say why, but it doesn't exist. So what's our response to that? Our response could be threefold, to say different than the Megillas Esther's pshat in the Rambam, why the Rambam omitted it. Number one, the Abnezer writes that the Rambam already has a rule he wrote himself, that if there's a certain mitzvah that is dependent on a mitzvah that he already listed, then he will not list that second mitzvah because he already listed the first one. Where can we do Trumas and Maisus in the world? Only where? Eretz Yisrael. He lists Trumas and Maisus, says the Abnezer. If he listed Trumas and Maisus, he obviously is assuming the premise that there's a mitzvah to live in Israel, and there was no need for him to list it explicitly. That's what the Avdei Nezer writes. So he says, don't make a big deal of the omission of the Rambam. That doesn't, you don't have to say like the Megillah Esther, that shows he doesn't hold it's a mitzvah. On the contrary, it is a mitzvah. The reason why he didn't write it explicitly, because it's already included in the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisus. That's the Avdei Nezer. Number two, they say over in the name of Kukzatzal, I heard, I never saw it written inside, he claimed that living in Eretz Yisrael is so axiomatic to Yahadus, it's very Rav Kook-like, the Rambam had no necessity to list it explicitly. Which is a tremendous chiddush. I mean, the Rambam lists, you know, Emunah Bitachon, Yedias Hashem. It's hard to imagine living in Eretz Yisrael is more axiomatic than that. But nonetheless, that's what they say over the name of Rav Kook, and therefore, Rav Kook says there was no need for the Ram to write explicitly. But of course, the Ram held it was a mitzvah. And number three, we could point out, a third response is that Rav Avadya Zatzal, in his Sefer, in Yechav Adas, points out, if you take a look in note 15, it's on the last page, and he also writes this in Hilchos Ishus as well. Eved she'amar la'alos l'eretz Yisrael, kofenis rabo la'alos imo, o yukorosol l'shialu sham. An Eved that wants to make aliyah, we kofen his master to go up with him, or to sell him to someone who already is there, l'mishialu sham. Ratza adon l'atzeis l'chutz l'aretz, if the master wants to move out of Eretz Yisrael and he lives there, ein yochel l'hotzis avdo atshirtza. He's not allowed to take out the Evikain until he want, unless he wants to. V'dinze b'chol zman afil b'zman hazeh she'eretz b'yad akum. You hear that? Rav Avadya writes, the Rambam the Arach HaZaka writes pretty explicitly that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He also writes in Hilchos Ishus when he describes a couple that's married that one of the members wants to go. So Rav Avadya says, okay, you want to pilpul from today until tomorrow what the Rambam is holding in Sefer HaMitzvahs, I'll tell you what he holds in the Arach HaZaka. In the Arach HaZaka, it's very clear. What does the Ram write in the Hakhtam of the Arach HaZaka? Ram was a tzaddik. He wasn't a Baal Gaiva. I don't need to tell you that. The Rambam writes that after he writes the Arach HaZaka, all you need is a Tanakh and the Rambam, because the Ram codifies all the dinim. So if you have an issue between the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Arach HaZaka, let's say in theory that would be the pshat in the Arach HaZaka, Rav Avadya says, what's the difference? If that would be the pshat in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, okay, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you want to say you omitted it? And therefore, the Megillas Esther held it wasn't a mitzvah. Well, he was chozer bo to the Arach HaZaka, where the Ram writes it explicitly in two places. So that's our threefold response to the Megillas Esther that claims that the Rambam held that it was a mitzvah. So you have the Ramban on one polar that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, and on the other polar you have Taisvis, who says it's not a mitzvah. Two responses. We chiseled that down by saying the Ma'arit said a Talmud Torah wrote the Tosos. Also, we also respond out pisvara. Even if you say the two svaras of Tosa, we said nowadays maybe the svaras aren't shayach. Bli ein har it's safe. And number two, we know how to do tshuvas and maisis. We'll follow the nusach the Chazon Ish gives us. Also, we pointed out that the Rambam omits it. Megillas Esther says not a mitzvah, and the Rambam, the fact he omitted, shows it's not a mitzvah. We had threefold response to that. Number one, the Avinezer says he holds it to mitzvah. He didn't have to list it because he has trumas and mitzvahs. Number two, we said Rav Kook that it's so axiomatic he didn't need to list it. And number three, we're pointing out that Rav Avadya says in the Arach HaZaka he writes in two places explicitly it's a mitzvah. So even if you want to say like the Megillas Esther and say for a mitzvah, the Rambam in the Arach HaZaka twice says it's a mitzvah. Now Rav Moshe Zatzal writes in the Tshuva a middle position. Rav Moshe writes the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis. Like a mitzvah of tzitzis he's been dominant to. What does that mean? We have to put on tefillin every morning of our lives, Bez Hashem, unless it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, whatever you do on Chol HaMoed, whatever your shittas are. But that's a mitzvah chiyuvis, that's obligatory. Tzitzis is what we call a mitzvah chiyuvis, which I think the best translation is that it's a situational mitzvah. Meaning that if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, I'm obligated to put on tzitzit. But if I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, I'm not obligated to wear tzitzis. Now the Gemara says in Menachos Hashem gets upset at someone, God forbid, that doesn't put themselves in that obligation. And you should. But the truth is it's situational. Depends whether I'm wearing the four-cornered garment. Then I have a chiyuv tzitzis. So Rav Moshe wants to say, are we obligated to pack our bags, make aliyah after this year? He says no. But the fellows that are living in Eretz Yisrael, they certainly get points in Shemayim. They are getting points in Shemayim that we are not by living in Chutz Lars. That's what he called it. It's similar to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So his sheet is basically a middle position if we want to present it as to whether it's a mitzvah. So when we talk about the mitzvah of the Shiva Amimim and it's a kiyum of Eretz Yisrael, we don't have the Shiva Amimim nowadays. But when you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're fighting, you have a defensive battle, self-defensive battle, which is a Mechametz Mitzvah on that account. It's destroying a Molek too, no doubt. It's destroying a Molek. You know, the Shilas Rav Avadya has about Kohanim, a coin. We had I had a, when I was a young fellow in Shalbim, you know, some of, out of the Americans, you know, they want to speak to the Israelis about the war. I didn't do this, but, you know, some of my friends, they want to know, they want to be like Rambo. They're, you know, asking some of the older Israelis. They had heard that this Israeli had killed many Arabs. You know, they would ask him, you know, in war, in the 82, the Persian Gulf War. And, you know, he never wanted to talk about it. Something he said, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking about. It was a Kohen, though. It was a Kohen. It was Yadua that he killed. And the Gemara says in Brachos, a Kohen that's Hargis and that fish is Loisis Kappa. Gemara Darshan's a Pusik in the beginning of Yirmiyahu, or is it Yishayu? Right? It says, Damim Kapayim Damim Maleu. Right? So how could you do it? So Rabbi Avadia has a beautiful tshuva where he says that this is Letzarch Mitzvah, this is Mechanis Mitzvah. Well, we were taught, we don't hold like that Taisin Yavam says, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. The luck is that if you have blood on your hands, I don't care why, you can't duchen. That's Taisis. We don't hold like Taisis. The Ramah says if a person's a Rotzeach and he does tshuva, the Ramah allows him, according to one sheet, that he could duchen. Even if he was a Rotzeach, but amazing. B'shoigig, certainly. But here, Rabbi Avadia says, Letzarch Mitzvah. So Tzarech Mitzvah is not a problem. Certainly can duchen. So you see that this is a real mitzvah, Bizman Hazeh, this nature of Mechemes Mitzvah. So what I wanted to get to now is, whatever you say about whether it's a mitzvah or not to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so well known, there's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back. I think we covered all the Mara Mekaymas, but we didn't cover towards, if you take a look now at number 10, 10 and 11. Let's look at 10, 11, and 13. Okay? There is an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael, believe it or not. Asr Lotzes. And the Gemara tells a story in Gittin and I in Vavim Beis that the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael were being Malava, the Amoraim from Bavel. They were going back to Bavel. And the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael stopped at the border. So Rashi has a line there where he says, Asr Lebnei Yerzor Latzeis Chutzalards. So one of my Rebbeim, Harav Serevnik Shlif, is a great Gaon. He's a Rebbe in Shalbim, Rebbe in, now in Machon Lev. He's a great Gaon. He wanted to be died from this Rashi that the Israel leave is only on Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So if you go to Yeshiva for a year, you go for a visit, you're a Ben Chutzalards, you hold 2 days there, let's say. So you're identified as a Ben Chutzalards. So there's no Israel for you to leave. However, if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael, there's an Israel to leave. Now, it could be Rashi was just being mazed with that Gemara there. Doesn't mean that the whole Isser's limited Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but that's what he wanted to say. So Tosfos, if you take a look at Maseches Avodah Zarah in note 11, he says there are heterim to leave based on the Gemara and the Shiltas if you're leaving Letzarech Mitzvah. But you have to leave Letzarech Mitzvah, Manas Lachzor. There are two clauses to leave Eretz Yisrael. He has to be going for a Mitzvah, and also has to be going for on the condition to return. And not after Adbeya Vesrim. It means, you know, when a person's alive. And says the Taisvis, he says, Lomo Torah, what are the three Eterim? To learn Torah. It's hard to imagine. Why would anyone want to leave Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah? Learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. But, you know, Bizman that the Reb Moshe and the Rav Zatzal were alive. There were Bachrim that left Eretz Yisrael to learn by the Rav and learn by Reb Moshe. So that you can envision. But they can only go on Manas Lachzor. To marry a woman, that we know, we all know stories that men left there to struggle, fell in love with a woman, and they married a woman. But they can only go on condition of returning, and for business if they need it. So do we expand that heter? Or is it only limited to those three mitzvahs, or do we expand it? So look at Taisus. Lilmo Terev Elisa Yishu, Perish, and Daito Lachzor, Eretz Yisrael. Dilu Ein Daito Lachzor, Amr Betsuas Pirachani, Achiv Shosan Nasa. Only these mitzvahs, says Taisus, which are chashuv, lilmud Torah, shegadol tamar Torah shmigli in ma'isav, ishenami nechsev losu bra l'shevish yitzra mitzvah purvu, aval shar mitzvah slo. So Taisus in the beginning limits it only to those three. Vokimach birak ravidi megillah, aval b'shiltas ravacha, but in the shiltas ravachaygon mefurish. Hanach, Dekili, these three, which are not as strong, for sure you're allowed to go the Kolshkin, the Shar Mitzvah, Shem Chashuvas. So he says, fuck here. He says, you can go for any mitzvah. So they say that Rabbi Avadia Zatzal, whenever he would go anywhere, even if he went to a country where the Yidden were not learned at all, he would sit and teach them Aleph Beis. The Rambam writes in Avos that what's a mitzvah kala? Learning Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. He would sit and teach the children or the adults Aleph Beis, wherever he went, because he was worried about this issue of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Why in this country? He says, we don't know Torah. So if they didn't know Torah, he would even teach Aleph Beis. This heter, and the Shabrua writes in Nuchas Cholamoy, even extends to visiting a friend. Visiting a friend constitutes a mitzvah. And you get out of this itzer of leaving Eretz Yisrael, but only Amanas Lachzor. Let's take a look at number 13. This is a real interesting collector's item in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Now I want to thank Rav Waitman for photocopying the Mar Mekaymus. He does such a wonderful job. Talmud Chochem says in the Mishnah Brura, Hu Shol Oyotze V'chulei, Perish the Eretz Yisrael, Leretz Yisrael. What are we discussing here? You know, there's an itzer to shave on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah, though, gives a few exceptions. If someone came from Medina Yam or was released from prison or was ill and he didn't have enough time to shave, or if Yom Tov is allowed to shave a Chol HaMoed. Those are some exceptions. Now, when we say that he came from a trip from Medina Yam, very fascinating. You left there to serve Medina Yam, says the Mishnah Brura. Why'd you leave? You're not allowed to leave. And if you left Be'isser, you have no heter to shave during Chol HaMoed. Isn't that fascinating? Mishnah Brura discusses this Isser. And therefore, if you left the Isser, when you come home on Chol HaMoed, you have no heter to shave. But if you went for a mitzvah, and if you, what kind of mitzvah? Let's say you went to visit a friend. That's enough of a mitzvah to say that what I left, and therefore you can come back and you have a heter to shave. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura, number 13. Bushel Oyatza V'chulei, Perish, Demi Eretz Yisrael, Le'eretz Yisrael, Omi Chutz Laretz, L'Chutz Laretz, Af B'yotza L'tayel, Sheno Dvar Mitzvah, Filochim Mutalo L'Galeach, Kishaloi Apnai L'Galeach Mibion Yom. Kevin Shitziyasa B'Rishu Saisa, Shalo Asa, he did not Shalo Asa Isser B'zeh, Abba Me'eretz Yisrael L'Chutz Laretz, Eino Mutter, Ela B'yotza L'Arviach, to go from Eretz Yisrael L'Chutz Laretz, that's only Mutter if you went for business. Oliros Pnei Chaveiroi. As I would say to my Talmidim, underline that 50 times. Liros Pnei Chaveiroi. To Chashiv Dvar Mitzvah. Mishnah Brura writes that's considered to be Dvar Mitzvah. Visit a friend. If you'd have asked me, I would have thought, that's a mitzvah? Mishnah Brura says yes. For to get out of this issue. Shemutr Latzeis Meretzol Bishvil Zeh. Mashenkin Latayel Ba'almo. To stam, take a trip. You take a trip with your family, you're not going to visit anybody? When you come back, there's no heter. So the Mishnah Brura even speaks about this issue. So no matter what you say, let's say you held like the Megillas Esther, or you held like Megillas Esther Pshat in the Rambam, or you held like the Baal Yad Taisis, that there's no mitzvah Bizman Hazeh to live in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no denying that there's an issue to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? What's the lumdus why there's an issue to leave Eretz Yisrael? So we could say one of three possibilities. Number one is, we could suggest that, and if you look at the if you look at the Tosas Rid in Gittin and Daf Lamed Ches, he says like this: basically, you are being mavatal the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. You're never allowed to do anything halacha that will take you out of the mitzvah. According to the Ramban, you have mitzvah chiyuvus to live in Eretz Yisrael. By you leaving, you're being mafkia yourself in the mitzvah. You shouldn't have done that. How could you do that? Number two, the Rashbam writes in Baba Basra, Sadi Aleph and Aleph, that you're being mafkia yourself in mitzvahs tluyas baretz. Specifically, trumas and mice, you can't do in chutz laretz. Why did you do that? Why'd you leave? And number three, a third possibility is, so number one is you're getting out of the mitzvah yishuv haaretz. Number two, you're getting out of the mitzvah tluyas baretz. Number three is, there is in Nazar, Maseches Nazar, a concept called Tuma Eretz Amen. The Chachamim wanted the Yidim to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So you know what they did? They imbued on the dirt of Chutz Laretz Tuma. The old Gemara is all shy with it. They also imbued on the Avira there, Eretz Amen. Gemara says, yes. Why did they do that? Because they wanted Yidim to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon writes, the issue of leaving Eretz Yisrael is only limited to Kohanim. The Shvus Yaakov actually, the Shach quotes him. The Shvus Yaakov actually says a Kohen cannot live in Chutz Laretz because of the Tumah of Eretz Amen. The Shach says we don't accept that Al Pidin, and therefore a Kohen can live in Chutz Laretz. But if you hold like that third possibility, the whole issue is constricted only to Kohanim. But we have to bring, what I want to bring out is that this mitzvah of milchama is very much connected with the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael and how important Eretz Yisrael is to us. And we think nowadays that it's distant from us, this mitzvah of milchama. It's not, unfortunately. What can we in Chutzlar do to connect? And we know that, you know, Amalek connected, you mentioned before, Yishmael, we put them, subsume them in that group. You know, there are two things I think that we can mechazik ourselves. You know, the Yidden, Tzahal, and Eretz Yisrael, two in Yon. One is the Koch of Tefillah. You know, the Yishmael, they daven five times a day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe in the same Ebishter as us. And even though the Ibn Ezra says that Tzere is not in the right place for this drasha, but Yishmael is Yishmakel, right? The Tzere is not under the Aleph, so it doesn't fit this drasha much. But Hashem listens to the Tfilas. So, you know, there are four things the Gemara says in Brachas, Arba, Tzrichim, Chizuk. One of them is Tfilah. So we have to strengthen ourselves in Tfilah by getting there on time, not talking, having kavanah. I think that's a one way that we can combat the Amalek. And the other is the Mesiras Nefesh that the Amalek represents to try to destroy us. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't have to mean giving one's life up for Kiddush Hashem. That, God forbid, happened like Roe Klein. We know there are many Tzchaylim, all the Chaylim that die on Kiddush Hashem, that have died. But it means doing something that's not easy for us. To be Mosar Nefesh, to make a Yishtadlis, to things that, you know, for us may not come so easy, and it's hard for us to do, but we're Mosar Nefesh to do it. Might not be easy to do a chesed to someone, for someone, for us. But we make that effort, we're Mosar Nefesh. So in those two elements, I think we can connect and combat and overpower and make the kisei of a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom. You know, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shlosha mitzvahs distavu Yisrael b'chisos al haaretz. Three mitzvahs we were commanded when we got to Eretz Yisrael. One is Limnos lehem melech. The Arayim says the mitzvah of destroying Amalek's on the melech. Number two is Lahachri zaro shel Amalek. And number three is Livnos lehem beis habechira, to build a beis hamikdash. This is all steps that we need to do to try to fulfill the mitzvah in its highest level. And, you know, the Mechemes Mitzvah that we deal with in Eretz Yisrael applies Bizman Hazeh. So all those dinim that we have, Kavli Dechaziri, all these Heterim, Luchura, and there are many Sfarim that are written on Hilchos Sava. One of my Rebbeim, Harav Skaria ben Shlomo, Harav Agonor Skaria ben Shlomo, Rosh Koilon Chalbim, wrote a whole Sefer called Hilchot Sava. What, you know, how the Chayalim have to do it. And Rav Gorin Zatzal made it so important. You know, he made everything kosher in the Tzava. Everything had to be kosher. If you don't follow it, you could be put away and incarcerated. If you mix around the kashrus, you know, he made Kfuris Yisrael so crucial. He risked his life to go out to the battlefields and get bodies of the boys that were shot to bury them. He made Kfura very crucial. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Chayalim Hatzlacha, and may we prevail over Amalek. And the last thing I just want to close with, Rav Huttner Zatzal writes, Amalek is representative of Leitzonis. What is Leitzonis, he says? Leitzonis, you take something that's important and you trivialize it. Klal Yisrael, after we came out of Mitzrayim, everyone was scared of us. We were the Am HaNifchar. We are the Am HaNifchar. But when they attacked us, the Medrash has this image of a hot bath. And by them attacking us, it cooled down the waters because all the nations of the world saw that the Jews could be attacked. They took something that is the most chashuv, us, the Am HaNifchar, and they minimized it. They watered it down. They trivialized it. So we all have a little bit of Amalek in us too as well. We have to eradicate Litzonis. Doesn't mean we can't have a good sense of humor and be happy, but to minimize and belittle people and trivialize things that are important, that's the meat of Amalek. And we can combat Amalek if we rid that from our personas as well. Everyone have a good day. Thank you for coming. Thanks a lot. I got to give you a shoot. Thank you. No, wait.